You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Warning, the Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not-so-fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
And welcome to The Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. I am Adam Minahan, sitting here in studio with my bud David Niles, as always. And last week we had an awesome episode with our man Carlo Broussard from Catholic Answers.
Yeah.
It was a great talk on the four levels of manhood.
He's way cooler than we are.
He is.
That's just true.
But yeah. Well, whenever you like start playing an instrument at age 13, like travel around and in bars and stuff like that, you're already kind of a leg up on us.
Yeah.
But we are also in studio today with a good friend of ours who's been on the show before, Mr. Sam Guzman from The Catholic Gentleman.
Welcome
Sam.
Back, my friend.
Thanks for having me. It's awesome to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have like back-to-back awesome, sweet guests. That's what we do on The Catholic Man Show. Like, we realize that, you know, maybe we're not supplying enough sweetness to the show, so we got to get some better guests.
Only the best.
Only the best for you guys. So three things every episode we do three things. We have a manly beverage, a man gear, and a man topic. And we try to highlight virtues that men should have and carry throughout their day-to-day lives in each segment.
Yes. If I were to sum up what the show is about, I'd say it's about virtue.
Yes. I think so, too.
In one word, virtue.
Virtue.
Which means man, anyway. Virtue.
And alcohol.
And what?
Alcohol.
And, well, okay. Well. but alcohol virtuously.
Yes, yes.
Yes, yeah. In moderation.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Carlo,
but I do like beer and whiskey.
I
and
do, too.
Other things.
And Carlo, our last episode, made a great point that, you know, when men get together to drink, you know, that's not the end. You know, it's always pointed towards a heightened conversation. And,
yes.
You know, it's all about brotherhood. You know, it's all about getting together as men. And sharing experiences with one another and sharing, you know, just the joys of life together,
right. Mm-hmm.
That point us towards God.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how I feel every time I drink a beer.
And moderation is manly, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, any loser can have no control and just get drunk, smashed, whatever. Take some strength to be in control.
Yeah.
And that's why it's manly. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. I found that things that are hard tend to be manly.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because otherwise they're effeminate.
Mm-hmm.
Suck it up, buttercup.
Yeah.
That's right. Snowflake.
Yeah.
That's another one that, like, the young kids are using now.
Uh-huh.
Snowflake.
Well, it's about the young kids, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but what, you know, what we're just talking about, the drink that we're having today, tonight, kind of flows into it, because we're having a home-brewed beer.
Yeah.
By our buddy Ken Henderson, who runs our Pint, Pipe, and Cross group.
Mm-hmm.
He's sometimes writes on our blog for us every once in a while.
Right.
But if you don't have a men's group that you're seeing once a month where you guys get together, maybe share a beer and a smoke or whatever and talk about theology, philosophy, you know, Bible reading, whatever, you need to get one. I don't know why you don't.
Mm-hmm. And if you're looking for a format, head over to our buddy Ken's website and you can see the way we do it. I think it's a great format. Works out really well.
Mm-hmm.
So his website?
Well, it's pintpipeandcross.com.
Yeah. Okay.
So
anyway, he brewed this for us at the last meeting we were at. He pulled out two beers.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, what did he call them? Sister beers? Something
yeah.
like that. Well, what he did was he took the grain and he steeped it in water. He boiled it. And then that extracts the sugars and the starch.
The one's a shilling.
The other one?
Shilling beer, yeah.
Okay, so then he drains out that water, and he uses that water that's got all the sugar in it to brew a beer. And then he does it, if you do it again from the same, with the same grains, then you get less sugar and starch in that next batch of water, so it's not going to be as high in alcohol content. So he brought us out one, and I think the first one was like 8% alcohol, and he gave it to us, and it was fantastic. And he said, yeah, it's about 8%. I could be a little off on the percentage, but it was a high percentage. And then he said, oh, yeah, so this is the second. This is from the second one. The first one is even stronger, and that's what we're drinking today. So what did he say this one is, about 14?
Yeah, about 14 and a half.
But
it's called, he's also a graphic designer, and he did the bottle label and everything, but he calls it Wild Highlander, and it's a wee heavy, so it's a Scotch ale. It's delicious. So
this is the Scotch of beer.
This is the Scotch of beer.
And this label is great. I mean, you're just looking at this Highlander with his wild hair and his giant claymore, you just like instantly feel more manly.
Yeah,
looking at the bottle.
I agree.
It's just like, wow. I can just like feel the hair growing on my chest.
Well, let's.
So he wrote some notes for us on the beer. So we'll cheers.
Let's
and
not
then,
delay.
Yeah, and then I can read the notes. So we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers to Jesus.
So the color is it's like a cloudy brown is how I would describe it.
Mm-hmm. It's really good. What were your instant thoughts?
Excellent. You know, if Oklahoma actually got cold, this would be a great beer to drink on a cold winter's night.
Well, don't worry, because we're not out of winter yet.
It's like 80 degrees.
I know, it's weird.
It's weird.
It's
but
very weird.
I was out running around the yard yesterday in a t-shirt, and I was like sweating. And
yeah,
like,
I was upset about it. We had this ridiculously warm weather
February
this weekend.
February t-shirt weather.
Okay, so I'm going to read his notes on this beer. Ken Henderson says, it's a strong Scotch ale, a.k.a. a wee heavy, and it's a high-gravity beer fermented at cooler temperatures than most ales, or with a lower hop rate, resulting in clean, intense malt flavors. Very low in hops because hops do not grow in Scotland, and hops normally come from southern regions. So you get a much more malty taste.
It's very malty.
Mm-hmm.
It's got some fruit flavor in there. It's kind of like got some plum and...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says it's a rich caramel sweetness. So that's some mm-hmm. of the sweetness. Mm-hmm. Without being overly sweet, so it's not like candy or
anything like that.
No,
not at all.
And it has a slight nuttiness to it, like a nut taste, and slight boozy with a warm alcohol note, but not too much considering it's a 14.5%.
Yeah, for being 14%, you'd have no idea.
No.
Which is amazing. I don't know how you do that.
But again, I think that, you know, the beer movement, especially here in Oklahoma, that's, you know, changing. I like the culture because it focuses more on quality than quantity.
Absolutely.
You know, I would rather have any day. I'd rather you give me like a nice beer, one beer, over an 18 pack of, you know, watered down lagers.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we drink not to get drunk or anything like that, but we drink because it's a finer thing in life that God has provided for us that we have figured out, thank goodness, because the water was contaminated, and so we started drinking beer.
Yeah.
But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, beer is proof that God loves us and he wants us to be happy.
That's amen,
but, you know,
brother.
As Chesterton
amen.
Said, you know, you're only supposed to drink to enhance the happiness that you already have.
Right.
Hey, you should already be happy before you start drinking.
Yeah.
Otherwise, things just kind of go downhill from there.
Yeah, drinking if you're sad is a bad idea.
Yeah, yeah. So the Chesterton's rule of drinking is drink when you're already happy and you'll be happier.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah.
But this is very good. This is excellent.
It's a delicious
What if
beer.
I'm always happy?
Well, then you never need to drink.
Yeah.
Wait.
So if you're always happy,
does that
you're
mean
drinking
I should,
all the time,
right,
so
does that
just be like ecstatic.
Right. That's what I was working
but not
all the time.
Not
right?
A moderate.
Okay.
We're also videoing this, so I'm showing the camera the awesome artwork that Ken did.
So this is good. Yeah, it's got a real Celtic flavor to it. But you know, St. Bridget of Ireland.
Yeah.
A great quote. She's like, I want a lake of beer for the King of Kings. She's like, I want to be drinking it throughout all eternity. With like what? All of heaven's hosts around this giant lake of beer.
I did not know this quote.
Drinking beer forever. Yeah, it's a great quote.
That is awesome.
Only an Irish saint would come up with something like that.
Well, I want to go there.
Yeah, absolutely.
The great tap room in the sky.
Right.
another thing that you can do as you get together with other men and drink, you know, sometimes cheersing is kind of awkward at times. You know, we always cheers to Jesus on this show. But a great cheers, you know, to say is... may you drink in moderation and share in excess.
Yes, yes.
And so that way it also promotes sharing and moderation.
I'm not drinking after you, if that's what you're implying.
No, that's not what I'm implying.
All right, just making sure.
But it is a very delicious beer. Well done, Ken. Well done, Sir Ken.
No doubt. The Scotsman on this bottle looks awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we say wee heavy, we have to say it with a, like, it's a wee heavy. A wee.
I'm
just
terrible.
A wee heavy.
I'm terrible with accent, or like, interpret, no.
Would you like a wee heavy? That's all I can do. Sorry.
I can't do it. I'm not doing it.
I'm struggling with the Scottish. I can do a lot of different accents, but The Scottish accent's a little more.
The Scot is difficult to differentiate between the Irish.
Yeah. All right, when we get back, we're going to dive into the man here. We're sitting here with Sam Guzman from The Catholic Gentleman. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back. I mean that. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. Once again, sitting here in studio with Adam Minahan and Sam Guzman, the Catholic Gentleman. I like to think that we're all Catholic gentlemen. However, only one of us here is the Catholic Gentleman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you just started before us.
Adam, I'm looking at you. Yeah. Look at that suit.
Yes!
Did you show him the hat that you have?
No.
The fedora, I've seen it. I've seen the
pictures. You have?
Yeah.
I've got a picture of it on my wall.
It's like the play like a champion today for Notre Dame. You hit it every time as you walk out the door.
Yeah. Bless me, Adam.
Yeah.
Sometimes if my wife says anything like, oh, sorry about blah, 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 blah. You know, usually it's something very small because she never does anything big worth for asking forgiveness for. But I'll like just say... honey, I forgive you. And just let my forgiveness wash over you. Just let it saturate every pore in your body and let it rejuvenate your soul. You know, and I'll just keep going and going. And at first, you know, like the first maybe five times I did it, she thought it was funny. She doesn't anymore.
She doesn't even like it anymore.
So I have to keep going until maybe finally she'll think it's funny.
It's not working.
She's tough, man.
She is tough.
When she finally throws the dishes at your head, then you know you've gone too far.
Right. Like, now your forgiveness needs to wash over me.
So our last segment, we were talking about Ken Henderson's homebrew beer that he let us try on air.
As well as other things about drinking beer.
Yes. We're drinking them in our Catholic Man Show beer mugs, mm-hmm. which are awesome. And you can get one. If you become a friend of the show. So
yeah, we had a guy on Facebook this week ask how to become a friend of the show. Mm-hmm. So we should review that.
Yes. Yeah. So if you like the Catholic Man Show, we ask a couple things.
And you want to support us. Because
right.
That's really what becoming a friend of the show is about. It's about supporting what we do here on the Catholic Man Show.
Right. Because it costs, like, we're getting video cameras and we have cloud lifters. And we just have equipment that costs money. So
the more support we have, the more we can do.
Exactly. So if you like the Catholic Command Show, we ask that you rate and review it on iTunes, because that helps organically get our name out there. But also become a friend of the show. And what a friend of the show is a $10 monthly donation to our show. And what we do in return in Thanksgiving is we send you out a Catholic Command Show Glencairn glass. And then you get to be part of the closed Facebook group, get a newsletter. We have exclusive content. Last time when Sam was here, we had a Facebook Live for our closed group on Facebook for friends of the show.
Yep.
So we provide extra content for those people, but you can also get T-shirts and beer mugs and bumper stickers,
all kinds of stuff.
Just a little bit of everything. So we try to give a thank you out, but it also in turn helps us continue the show. So to do that, breadboxmedia.com, there's a Friend of the Show tab. Click on it. Fill out the paperwork. Make sure you click on the Catholic Command Show, and we'll get an email, and boom, you're going to be in.
And if you don't like the Catholic Command Show, get help at the soonest opportunity. I think there's a hotline for that. Like,
yeah, if you don't
1-800-GET-HELP-MAN-SHOW.
Right. Yeah. If you don't like the Catholic Command Show, you need to check your man levels.
Speaking of liking the Catholic Man Show, Adam, you have to tell the story about what happened to you this last weekend when you were hiking.
Okay.
You have to. Just tell it quickly. Tell it briefly.
Okay, so...
Where were you?
So I was at basically Turkey Mountain. We were hiking with my family.
Red Bud Valley.
And I was hiking with my kids, and it's easy to get them out there and burn energy and just see all the landscape and beautiful architecture of what God's done. And so we're out there, and I'm wearing my Catholic Man Show T-shirt, and I'm walking by. I have my sunglasses on. I think I may even have a hat on. I don't know. And I'm walking by, and a guy passes us with another guy, and he's like, "Oh, dude, the Catholic Man Show. I listen to that show. That is a sweet show." And I was like, "Yeah, thanks, man." And as he was walking by, he was telling the other guy, "Like, dude, you gotta listen to the Catholic Man Show. It is so awesome. It's hilarious." And I realized that the guy had no idea who I was. Because all I just really said, "Yeah, thanks, man, appreciate it," or I said something like, "Yeah, it is, it's pretty good," or something like that. But I realized
he just thought you had the shirt.
Yeah, he just thought I had the shirt. He had no idea who I was. But so I thought it was a cool, funny. It was a cool compliment.
And so I hope he hears this. That's really why I wanted you to tell the story,
right? Because he's probably listening to him and be like, "That was me."
Like, what?
Yeah. So
that was Adam.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, that was me.
Asked for his autograph.
Yeah. Something.
But anyway, it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, okay, so let's get into
one of those funny
stories. Let's get into the man gear. Every episode we have a man gear. So this week, and this one's a good one because it also ties into what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, we try to do that.
Yeah, sometimes we fail, but and sometimes it's not as closely connected.
Yeah,
but
it's okay.
This week we're talking about every man needs shoe polish. Right?
Right.
I mean, every man needs to have their shoes polished.
And I am going to make a video of how to polish your shoes.
Because guys, get ready, because I've watched him do it, and it takes him like 3 hours
to polish
one shoe.
I cannot believe you said that. I told my wife on my way over here, I said, "I think I'm
going
to make a video of how to polish your shoes," and she looked at me and goes, "Nobody wants to watch a two-hour video."
He polishes his shoes like... It's ridiculous. It takes way too long.
You know
what?
My problem is I'll do it like while I'm watching a movie or something, and so I get distracted. And yeah. I have ADD, if you can't tell. If that's not...
Squirrel!
If that's not obvious to everybody listening,
so,
that's who I am.
Do you have shoe polish, I'm assuming?
I do.
Okay. Yeah. So why...
And if I didn't, I wouldn't tell you.
Yeah, that's good. That's good, because that'd be really awkward. Because if I asked you that question and you didn't, I'd be like, "Oh, that was bad."
No, I have shoe polish. Don't worry.
Okay, so why do you think men need to have shoe polish? Why do you think men need to polish their shoes?
I think it's pretty countercultural, number one. We live in, like, a let-it-all-hang-out kind of world, and nobody cares about their appearance anymore to a large degree. Other than wearing the latest fashions.
Well, fashion styles have largely moved to the casual look.
Or sloppy. Like, it's cool to be sloppy.
Right. Like the business attire is, I mean, there's really only two industries left where you should really wear a tie. Otherwise, if you just have a dress shirt on, no tie, or even a golf shirt, that's considered appropriate business attire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's always like sink to the lowest common denominator. That's kind of where our culture is. Just throw something on. I mean, we go to Walmart. You've seen all the website people at Walmart. But, you know, I go to Walmart and people in their pajamas and slippers. It's pretty ridiculous. So when you actually take – but see, it takes time to polish your shoes. It takes effort. It takes attention.
Sometimes all it takes 2 hours, okay?
Yeah, 2 hours of exhaustive labor. It and you're really backbreaking, you know.
Yeah. I have to shower when I'm done, okay?
Yeah, right. So it's – but it's something that our culture kind of denigrates. Like, you don't need to put all this time in your – but – The opposite of that, it's actually the whole point of this virtuous manhood is to don't sink to the lowest common denominator, put in some effort, put in some work, take the time, take the attention, and that's all things that our culture doesn't understand. But just doing that, who cares if nobody even notices? They will notice because it looks really nice when your shoes are polished.
Yeah.
But even if nobody ever noticed, it's just that knowing that you put in the time and the effort and you've got this handsome result to, you know, it makes you feel better about yourself. You feel more confident.
Yep.
And second, you know, people will say, what's different about this guy? They might not even notice, like they might not even attribute it to the shoes. They can just tell there's something about. You put in that extra effort. And
the attention to detail.
Yeah, you'll stand out.
In the way you present yourself.
Absolutely. You'll stand out.
Yeah, because it's not just one thing. It's really the sum of the parts.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That comes across.
So, right. Yeah, attention to detail. You know, we talk about craftsmanship. What's the difference between, like, an Amish-made kitchen table and, like, a China-made kitchen table?
Totally.
Mm-hmm. It's attention to detail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's those subtle things that make all the difference in... either, you know, what you make or what you wear, it's those things that make you stand out and make a difference.
You know, I like the word you use, craftsmanship. I think that's a good word for a gentleman. A gentleman is a man of craftsmanship, just in general, you know, not just specifically with making things, but the way he presents himself, you know, that attention to detail, just the kind of the
even
idea.
Even like a craftsman of manners.
Yeah, like exactly.
Not just like how you, like, because you think craftsmen are like building things, but like you can be a craftsman of how you present yourself and the manners that you show to others.
Yeah. What is manners at its heart? It's love in little things, charity in little things.
Yeah.
Little things that 99% of people won't even notice.
Mm-hmm.
But totally. If you notice, you will be a gentleman and they won't.
And honor, giving honor to that which should be honored and respected. Yeah. Like, my wife and I, we used to watch the show Downton Abbey. And, you know, it's pretty much known as a chick show. But one of the things I really liked about it was all of the etiquette. And I know I've mentioned this on the show before, but, you know, when a woman walked in the room, all the men would stand up. And I just loved that.
It's attractive.
I know there was something about it that, and even everything about their culture, because they did a really good job of portraying the way culture was back then, and just even the way like the servants interacted with each other, or just everybody respected, you know, everybody always assumed the best in other people.
Right. So before we get done, because the shoe polish, we're almost out of time, we have to give it up to Father Brian O'Brien because he told us to do this, and also Deacon, or Transmissional Deacon, Kelly Edwards.
Yep.
Because they both suggested that to us. So if you have a man gear that you want us to highlight, shoot us over a message on Facebook or let us know. We'll kind of pick this up at the other side of the break. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
Raise your glasses.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here with Dave Niles and our special guest, hopefully a frequent guest, Mr. Sam Guzman from The Catholic Gentleman. We just got done talking about shoe polish for our man gear of the week, sipping on a little bit of this wee heavy from Mr. Ken Henderson.
How heavy is it?
Just a little wee.
Just a wee heavy.
Yeah, he calls it Wild Highlander.
So if the wee heavy is 14% alcohol, what's the heavy heavy? Yeah.
Well, he did give us the runoff, like you were talking about, the 8% as well. I have that down in my fridge. So when we get done with the show, I'll let you try that as well, just like a sip of it, so that way you can compare.
That one was super good, too.
I got to drive home, guys. I hope you
Well,
just
yeah.
a sip. Just a sip. A moderate right, sip, of course.
Okay, so.
So we were talking about shoe polish. A couple things I wanted to mention. Father Brian O'Brien, he's been mentioning, oh, you guys should do shoe polish. And he sent us a quote that I really like. I never watched this show, The West Wing, but apparently there's a character on there.
It's like a generation thing.
Alan Alda from West Wing. And once again, having not watched the show, I don't know if that's the character's name or the actor's name. But the quote is, never trust a man who doesn't shine his own shoes. And I just like that, you know, like, if you can't even shine your own shoes, I'm not sure what you're good for.
You know, David, there's a lot of guys out there feeling really inadequate right now, so don't drive it home too hard.
Hero of the Man Show, we let it happen.
We gave a warning.
Yeah, that's true. There's a disclaimer in the beginning.
People have been warned, you know. Yeah. But honestly, I think there's a lot of guys who don't know how to shine their own shoes. That's why I'm going to make the video. And guys, if you want to know how to shine your own shoes, there's like 100 videos on YouTube already of how to do it. And they're going to tell you probably better than I will. But I'm going to do one anyway, just in case you want the two-hour version, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
So it'll be like that film, you know, Integrate Silence, but it'll just be like shining shoes in silence.
The whole time.
Yeah. Me and Ron Swanson. That'd be funny if we could get that video, and then, like, at the end it pans over, and I'm just there polishing shoes. Total silence, you know. Anyway, Kelly Edwards, though, he also mentioned about shining shoes. His dad, every Friday night, would polish his shoes. And he mentioned us in a message he sent how that really spoke to him as a kid, that all of the things that said to him about getting ready for mass, you know, dad shines his shoes for church. And how many messages does that send to your kids? I mean, it's tough to count them all. And it's those unspoken, the fact that he did that every Friday, you know, what a message that sent. And
he probably didn't realize the message he was sending.
Yeah, probably not. But it's the culmination of all of these messages, like we kind of mentioned, that really set the tone for the way we attend Mass as a family. I think that goes a long way. And it's one of those things that you're going to start doing, and the dividends are not going to be, they're not going to show up for a while. When my oldest daughter was born, and she was finally able to start sitting at the dinner table with us, and like we were trying to help her learn to pray, I asked Pamela, I was talking to her, should I hold her hands together so that she learns how to pray? Or should I just over-exaggerate a prayerful posture? And she will see that and eventually start to imitate me. And that's what I decided to do. So for about a year, every dinner, I was over-exaggerating a prayerful posture during prayer. And then one day, we were praying, and I saw her put her hands together and bow her head. And it was just like, it was just like one of those moments that was like, you know, one of those dad moments where it's like, I'm not sure if I'm going to cry or if I just want to like high-five her really hard.
Right.
You know, but I shouldn't do that because she's a girl, right? Yeah. You know?
So our topic today is about, and all three of us are kind of in this situation, but it's about having little kids in Mass and what to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think we all can relate to having little kids in Mass and, like, you know, crying and, you know, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to handle it? And so I think that we're all going to kind of just kind of give a few tips on here's what we're doing, or here's what we've heard, or here's what we've read.
And, you know, we're going to be speaking, I think, directly to fathers today.
Right.
But even if you're single or you're not a dad or, you know, for whatever, you still go to Mass with other children. And so hopefully you can still take a lot away from this episode about the plight of having small children mm-hmm. in Mass with you.
Right.
Yeah.
And one of our friends of the show actually asked us to do this. Jared said, hey, this would be a great episode. Uh-huh. And so we said, you know what? This would be a great episode. We can have it with Sam because he also has a few youngsters as well. Yeah.
And I've seen pictures of all of his children sitting in silence reading books.
Yeah.
It was like...
I don't know if it was Photoshopped. They can't read a word. they just like stare at the pictures and imagine what it would be like to read.
Okay, so I think that that's a good
But Sam, why would they do that? It's because they see you reading. Yeah. Why would they even want to pretend... Because it's because they see Dad reading. You set the example for them.
Well, and they have all their books memorized. Seriously, if I leave out a word and change like a V to, you know, A or something,
yeah,
they catch me on it. That's freakish. Yep. They like have all their books memorized.
I remember doing that with my parents. The book was the Sleepy Bear, the Bernstein Bears, Sleeping Bear. Mm-hmm. I think it was kind of a scary book, but that was our favorite. Dad could not skip any pages.
I think that that's a good jumping off point, because before we talk about little kids like in Mass, I think that we need to start before Mass begins.
So you're saying that behavior in Mass is not learned in Mass?
In Mass. I think that if you try to learn it in Mass, you're going to be way behind the curve.
It's going to be a struggle.
It's going to be a struggle. And it's going to get frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, for my kids, you know, my wife does a phenomenal job of making sure that our kids have quiet time. And before bed, we're going to have sit down, we're going to have quiet time, and we can read a book, even though they can't read, kind of like yours, Sam. You know, they're not really reading, they're just kind of looking through the pages. But it teaches them that they have to be still, and they have to be quiet. And if you're trying to do that during Mass, it's just going to be so frustrating.
Yeah.
So anyway, Sam, I thought that was a really good like jumping off point to begin, because again, I don't think that like learning how to function in Mass is not the time to do it. It's before.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Before Mass.
Right. I mean, if you think about it from a kid's perspective, an hour of sitting still, give or take a few minutes, is a long time.
Right.
But if they're building those, you know, concentration is like a muscle. And we can either let it go get flabby, or we can build it. And kids actually, we think of them as like really, you know, here and there and full of energy and just, but they have an amazing ability to concentrate. I mean, they will stare at those pictures in that book, even though they can't read, they'll stare at the pictures in their book forever. And they will point out these minuscule details that I didn't even notice. I was just so busy worrying, trying to get to the next page. I didn't even notice all these little details, and they're pointing out things. I can't believe it sometimes, but they can concentrate. And if you build that instead of destroying it, and you can destroy it, you can ruin your kid's ability to concentrate by overstimulating them constantly hyperactive, you know, sounds and lights and videos and games.
Phones. And
there's nothing wrong with that stuff in moderation. Again, that's the whole kind of point of this show is moderation and everything. But, you know, kids who can focus on a book for 30 minutes straight will have a much higher ability to focus at Mass when they need to.
Right.
Absolutely.
And it's just a skill to learn to be quiet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a skill. And let's be honest, there's a lot of adults that I think everybody knows who don't possess that skill.
Yeah.
A lot of adults cannot sit quietly for 30 minutes.
You can see that. I mean, Sam, you were telling us in between breaks how you were at the post office and there was a long line, and every single one of them were on their phones standing in line, and you were the only one that was conscious that was like, you know, not on his phone in line.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's a constant stimulation. You have to be stimulated. You have to check, you know. You can't just be sitting still. So
yeah.
One of the things that I've learned, you know, I have a 3-year-old, about to be a 4-year-old, and a 2-year-old, and then I have a baby girl on the way. But one of the things that I've found that has been crucial for us is to sit up close in Mass, like sit in the front pew or the second pew, so they can see. They want to be able to see what's going on. It's just like us. When I sit in the back, I'm looking at, you know, you see a bunch of heads, you know, the back of people's heads, and you're looking. It's you're kind of rubbernecking. You're looking
yeah.
around.
Yeah.
And you're not focusing on really why you're there. And for kids, it's even worse, I'm sure, because they pay attention to a ton of detail, like you were saying, Sam. So I think that one of the things, and I know it's tough because, you know, then you feel like that there's a lot of eyes on you and that, you know, there are people that are, you know, looking at you while you're, you know, trying to keep your kids quiet or whatever. But it's, I watch my sons as they're looking at the altar servers, you know, as they're looking at the bell being rang, as they're looking at, you know, the book being processed up to the priest. You know, I look at, and they're watching all of this, and they wouldn't be able to see it if they were in the back. And so I think it's just a benefit, and it's a arrow in your
quiver.
Thank you. It's an arrow in your quiver.
I could see you didn't have it, so
yeah. I mean, I was like pointing. I was pointing back. Like,
what's the thing on your back?
Yeah, what is that? Yeah, it's an arrow in your quiver. It's a tool. It's a tool to use. You know, don't be playing behind the eight ball. Like, you know, it's gonna be tough in general. So use every advantage you can.
Right. Totally. Yeah.
That's one of my things.
And I've heard other people say that, and so I'm glad you said why you think that is about sitting up front at Mass. So you think it's so that they can see?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They know what's going on. Otherwise, they're just seeing the backs of people.
Right. Okay. Cool. Well, we're going to keep this conversation going on the other side of this break. You're listening to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. I'm sitting here with Adam Minahan and Sam Guzman, the Catholic gentleman. We've been talking about your children in Mass, but Sam, you're the Catholic gentleman. You run thecatholicgentleman.net.
I can tell you go there all the time.
I do, but I just type in...
I'm just giving you a hard time.
I just have to type in the, and it...
Yeah, no. You know, you can get there two ways. TheCatholicGentleman.com or just CatholicGentleman.net.
Okay.
But the main domain is CatholicGentleman.net.
CatholicGentleman.net. Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't have to ever type in the whole website, you know.
Right. The Google just...
It knows where I want to go.
Right. So
what do you got? What's new with The Catholic Gentleman?
The newest, biggest thing is these coffee mugs, these stoneware pottery coffee mugs that I've got coming out here any day now. Really cool. I got
big.
One at home. I got the shipment at home. This thing is gigantic. It could almost double as like a beer stein. And so this is for people who like really need to wake up in the morning.
Right.
But it's got this really nice black and silver glaze. I think you'll really like it. But there's only 100 mugs. And I've got 400 people in line for them already. So the day that they show up online, you better move quick because they're going to go fast.
Wow.
So anyway, I'll probably get some more in the future, but I want to see how these do. But I have a feeling they're going to go really quick. So just keep an eye on it. Or you can go to mug.catholicgentleman.net and find out when it's ready. But that's the biggest thing. The second biggest thing is I finally submitted my manuscript for the Catholic Gentleman book. So it's going to be coming out.
Ooh.
I don't know. I don't have an exact timeline yet. It's probably going to be a little while because of the editing process and everything. But that was a huge blessing to get that.
But you finished the rough draft. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. It's submitted to the editors and all that. So
all right.
That's a huge step, and I can't wait till that comes out. I think you're going to love it. So it'll be a few months yet probably.
Who's your publisher?
Ignatius Press. So.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That'll be great.
Yeah. I'm
Saint
really
Ignatius
excited about
is
that.
Awesome.
And if you can't wait to get your hands on a book, you know, because we all just love to collect books until they're coming out our ears, just check out the Be Not Afraid. It's a quote book for Catholic men. Be Not Afraid. Look it up on Amazon. got good reviews. I think you'll like it. So,
sweet.
Very awesome.
Okay, so we're talking about having little kids in Mass and how to, you know, operate during Mass with little kids.
Yes.
I don't know. Is that the best way to say that?
Yeah. I mean, that's a way to say it.
Yeah.
I don't know about the best way to have to think about
right.
for a while if that's the best
way. And we don't have time for that.
Yeah.
We don't have time for that. So I think that the one of the main things also is people get super nervous as parents. You know, when I was a very new parent, I was always super nervous about, oh, my kids just had a sound.
Like yeah,
one
me
little
too,
sound.
Man. I was the same
it's like,
way.
I don't want them to say anything. And it's like, we got to remember that, you know, the Catholic Church, we're a pro-life church.
Yeah.
Father Brian Ketter told us that one time in a homily, and I absolutely loved it. But, you know, we're a pro-life church. So we should expect to hear life.
Yeah.
You know, and that includes young ones.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a difference in, and you have to kind of learn this judgment on, you know, oh, they just barely acted up or they said something loud, or, you know, and it's always, of course, always at the time when everything is dead silent.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a difference between that and a complete meltdown.
Yeah. And have you ever been to, you know, like in some towns, there's the old parish where, for whatever reason, this particular parish just has a lot of elderly people in it. There's very almost no young children. Mm-hmm. And like, if you have to go there one Sunday and your kids cry, I bet a lot of people have had this experience where people come up to you after Mass and say, oh, it was so wonderful to have children in Mass. You know, like, even
right.
though it's like, you think, oh, my kids were like crying and mm-hmm. being terrible. And
right.
these
yes.
people, you know, they're not used to it. They probably hate it. You know, but no, they come up, and to them, it's like music to their ears. The sound of a baby crying mm-hmm. just, oh, it feels so good to them, you
right.
know, because we're a community. We are all like this big family
mm-hmm.
and we're going to have kids, you know?
Right.
And so we're
very pro-life.
It's like, that should be a normal thing.
Right.
And not to say that, oh, you know, you should just let your kid cry in Mass, but.
Right. That's why I said you have to use kind of judgment
on
like a cry and a meltdown.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, this cry is not melting down, but it's been going on, you know, they don't seem to be calming down, you
right.
know?
It's turning into a meltdown.
Right, yeah.
And I think, too, a big part of love is understanding someone else and being compassionate with them. You know, for us as adults, you know, there's been times when I've just been like, why can't my kids just shut up and sit still and be quiet? And mm-hmm. I get so stressed out and so angry.
Yeah.
But you have to have that empathy where you understand for a little kid, it's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
They're just full of energy. They just want to go, go, go. Sit there and be quiet. It's hard. And they can do it. They can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard. And so have that compassion with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be a Nazi about it. Don't be a taskmaster where you're just cracking the whip anytime they look at you cross-eyed. Like, just have that understanding. And Jesus said, you know, let the little children come to me.
Mm-hmm.
And his disciples were the ones that were irritated. They're just, get
right.
these kids
yeah.
out of here. We don't have time for this. They're just annoying. Just let Jesus be this, you know, wise teacher instructing the multitudes, you know. We don't
sure.
want to have time for these little kids. But Jesus has a heart for the littlest ones and the least. And so, yes, don't let your kid have a meltdown in Mass. It's not wise to just let them terrorize everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, be compassionate with your kids. Be patient with them. There's been times when I've, like, cracked down on my kids so hard for making a fuss after at Mass that I've been really convicted about it. Like, almost mm-hmm. to the point where it's like, I want to apologize to my kids because they weren't really being bad. They weren't really being naughty, but I was more worried about what other people were thinking about me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it was all about me, and it wasn't about them. It wasn't about them being good. It was about me worrying about other people looking at me.
Yeah.
And
that's
the
point.
Wrong attitude.
And it's such a temptation to feel that way, especially as a new parent. Cause like I said, you said you felt that way. I definitely felt that way. You know, I think you kind of get used to it after a while.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a couple, what I think are mistakes that you can make when it comes to your kids in Mass. One of them is we are cry room sitters.
Right.
Where our whole family sits in the cry
yes.
room.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that way...
I discourage that.
We have to, you know, it's like if you're doing that and, you know, maybe there's a reason why you have to do that for a while, you know, for a maybe even a month, you know, I could see there being a need for that. But, man, I just got to really discourage it. Like you said, come to Mass, sit in the pew, join the community. If your kid needs to be taken out, take him to the cry room for a minute, come back. You know, that's, I think, I cannot stress that enough.
Well, and I was asking my wife before we started this, and I said, you know, what are your thoughts? And she said, you know, make sure that the cry room isn't like the paradise for
the
little kids.
It's not a reward.
It's not a reward. You know, because if your kid realizes, oh, if I act up in mass, then I can go out to the, you know, commons or the cry room, and I get to explore, and I get to touch other things, and I don't have to sit still.
Right.
It's almost more of, like, if you have to extract them from mass, you know, this is a time to calm down and almost, not a timeout, but it's like, this is a, we're here for a reason to get back into mass.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because otherwise they realize it and they start acting up, and it's really hard to break that habit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, these are all aspects of discipline with your children, and of course, you as the dads, you know, this is totally up to you. So these are just suggestions.
Yeah, these are just opinions, you know, and suggestions.
The opinions of just three men.
Humble men.
Well,
extremely.
Yeah, very humble.
I'm more humble than you. I don't know if you realize.
Whoa, guys, I won the humble award last year.
Bro, I won the award. I've got the massive trophy.
I'm so humble, I don't even have an award. Like, I'm so humble, nobody ever notices my humility.
You gave it away, huh?
Yeah.
To the poor.
Yeah, I gave it away to the poor, yeah. but the other thing that I think is a mistake is... taking your kids out of mass and like, all right, well, let's go walk around the commons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, well, let's, you know, I'll just go walk around with them outside. I don't know, like maybe there's a situation every now and then. I've done that once with my daughter when we were at a wedding and it was a longer ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
It was just kind of tough. She was at that age. She was just 1 year old. And
right.
I brought her back in several times. Things were not working.
Mm-hmm.
So we walked around for a little bit, you know, then we tried to come back.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a routine, let's go out to the commons and walk around as a solution to the quote unquote problem.
Right.
I think that's a bad idea because all you're doing is rewarding them for acting up in mass. Oh, we get to go walk around in the commons. Yeah.
I think that it's really important to start this process, like we said, like before, you know, you're dressing up, they realize that this is something different that we're doing.
Yeah.
But you have to make sure that they, one, sleep well, but the night before, you know, that they are up and they get food before
mass.
Oh
my gosh, food is so important.
So, I mean, it's going to take effort. For the man, you know, for the father to make sure, you know, have to be disciplined. You have to make sure that they get enough sleep. You have to make
sure
that
it's not just the father. It's a team approach.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a team approach.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you guys one question.
Okay.
We didn't prepare for this. What are your thoughts, yay or nay, snacks in mass?
What age?
Let's say between 1 and 2 year old.
I would say that 1 year old range, maybe. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think by the time they're 2, I would cut it out.
Yeah. I say no.
What you say no when?
After, like, you know, well, it all depends on the child, obviously,
sure.
But I think after 1, no, I don't think so.
After 1?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Okay, so, yeah, I think I agree with Sam, like, it depends.
It depends on the kid.
It depends. And also, one thing we didn't mention is pick your mass time.
Yeah. Yes.
If you have young kids, don't go to noon mass.
No.
Yeah. Okay?
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah. They need to nap.
Yeah. Hey, Sam, thanks so much for joining us, man. It's always a pleasure.
It's been awesome.
This has been the Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles. We are on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
Let us raise our glasses.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.